I have had the great pleasure of having Heather not only as my teacher, but as a good friend for the better part of 15 years, I think it is now. When I lived on Salt Spring, I got to house sit for Heather.
Many times
over a period of 10 years. Sometimes for quite a while when she went away on long retreats. And so I got to get a sense of her as a person. I got to see how she organized her life and how she lived her life. And I think one of the two really important qualities I think about in terms of how she supports people in the Dharma and how I have been supported by her. The first one is connected to the vitality of life. And excuse me, I have a bit of a frog in my throat, I'm sorry. I think this one of the stories that highlights that for me is when Heather was young, she saw in England a production of the musical Hair. And her response to that was, wow, this is great. There are other people out there that want to embrace life the way I want to embrace life. I'm going to go find them. And so she did. She left her home country and came to America and has followed that path of loving life ever since. And one of the great qualities that she has is that she falls in love with all of her students as she gets to know them. And so there's that real loving support. And the other piece that's really important, there are many great qualities that Heather has, but another one that struck me as I was thinking about this talk is her capacity to see what needs to be done and organize and get it done. And when she was in her earlier career as a midwife, she was, first of all, bold enough to be a midwife while it was still illegal. But she also saw, along with her colleagues, that this was serious business and that it needed to be formalized. And so they organized to teach each other, teach themselves in a formal way, everything that they would need to know to do this well and safely and for the benefit of the people they were serving. And they made midwifery legal and legitimized and professional in BC. And so we're in good hands, very good hands. And Heather has 4 decades of meditation experience, almost 2 decades teaching meditation, teaching midwife classes before that and birthing classes. And so thank you for bringing your love and vitality to us this weekend.
Thank you, Derek.
It's a great pleasure, Lilla.
Thank you so much. Oh. That was very sweet. Thank you. Yes, I was 19, and I went to see Hair, and I didn't have a clue about any of it. I did a little bit about that there was a war going on in Vietnam, but I didn't know what MDASTPLSD stood for or anything. But they weren't acting. And I had seen all kinds of acting, and I was like, these are real people, and they mean it, and they care. And I was completely, as Derek said, I was so excited. So then I left England. I was 19, came here when I was 20. Whole new life. It's one of my heavenly messengers, as the Buddha called them, the things which happen to you, or a person who says something, and it just changes you, your whole life. And that was one of those wake-up moments for me. So, yeah, nice to remember it. So, hello, good morning, lovely to see you all. So many of you I recognize, it's great, it's like all this feeling of meeting old friends. And then there's people I've never met too. Who's never been here? Who have I not yet encountered? Lots and lots of you, lovely, lovely, hi. All right, great, looking forward to connecting a little. You get to connect with me more than I do with you, unfortunately. Takes a little longer. So what I like to do first, because we're going to be silent in just a few moments, is just take 2 minutes and not too loud and just introduce yourself to the people around you just a little so you know their name, if they're a new meditator or something, where they live. Just because you're sitting in close quarters and you're not going to be speaking to them for the next number of hours. And it's peculiar to be sitting by a complete stranger. And you'll make up a whole lot of stories about them, which won't be relevant, and it'll disturb your mind. So just get rid of some of that by introducing yourself. Just go ahead now. So just do a few sighs. And it's fun and it's neat to meet each other, and now just like let that all go, settle down, good. Now you have friends around you, you can relax. It's bubbly energy, and we're, you know, a lot of us in a small space, so talking just so energizing. Can you feel the bubbling energy? This is the theme for the retreat. Can you make space in you somehow so that that bubbling energy doesn't make you tense? Can you be bigger? And so that there's lots of room in you for that bubbliness? The bigger our space, our own inner space, the less impactful the stuff that's in it is. The tighter we are, the smaller we are, the more we're affected by and disturbed by what's happening. So this is the theme of this weekend retreat, is relax, make space. But before we get there, just a little more explanation of how it will work. First, as Metta mentioned, we conduct these in silence, and many of you have been to these weekends. Who's not been to one of these weekends before? Great, welcome, I'm really glad you're here. Okay, so we conduct them in silence, and the reason for it, it's so brilliant, is there's several. One is that we are not here to deal with anybody else. You get to find the luxury of not having to show up for or respond to or impress anyone. It's so that we can ignore everyone else, so that we're able to turn our attention to our own inner process, which mostly we can only do in solitude. And we don't live enough in solitude anyway, you know, it's city life and busy and all, and in our modern speedy era, not very long ago, 50 years ago and more, there's so much more space and quiet in people's lives. And so it's a luxury to not have to be engaging. But it's also a way we can relax when people are not looking at us, and so we don't have to be self-conscious in that way. So we can just be with ourselves. It's such a gift. And so we're avoiding contact out of kindness, not out of ignoring or blocking or any of those, you know. So we let people do what they're doing and feel how they're feeling, and we're attending to ourselves. And so that includes, you know, a lot of eye contact. There's always going to be natural little somebody holds the door for you, or, you know, you pick up the wrong shoe. You're going to find yourself looking at that person, and it's okay, don't be weird about it, but at the same time, attempting to not have to worry about other people. It also is interesting, once we stop engaging with people, it allows us to pay attention to what's going on inside ourselves, which is unbelievable what's going on inside. And it's masked by all the interaction. We're so engaged in the conversation and the connecting that we miss what's happening. And so it allows us to notice what is unconscious. And the whole point of this practice is to become more conscious. And so this really facilitates it rapidly, to be silent. That's the main thing to say. Then try and see, this is just an invitation. I don't give instructions or directions, but I offer teachings in the form of dishes on the smorgasbord. And you don't have to take them all on, and some of them you like, and some of them you'll really get into a certain dish, you know, potato chips is one of my things. But it's an offering to encourage you to taste and try these things. One is to, as an invitation or an offering, to see if you can be more silent on the inside also. Challenging. Because we're going da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da all the time. And so at least begin to explore the noisiness that's happening in there. And if you can, through relaxing, which is actually how it all calms down, is see if that can settle down. You don't need to engage all those comments. Your mind will do it. It's habituated to do that. It also believes that commenting on your life will help you be on top of your life and take care of everything and be safe and achieve what you need. But actually, that little mind is kidding you. It can't do such a great job. So we don't want to listen to all of that chit-chat. So you can just go like later, later, later to all those little busy thoughts. Good luck with that. Okay, silence. Schedule. And so I'm going to talk about why this particular aspect of practicing now for the next period of time. And then we'll have some time. The weather's looking reasonably good, and maybe little showers today, but it's not going to be bad, rain heavy. And so we'll then do some walking. So we'll alternate, as we usually do, and most of the teachers, I believe, who do these weekends, alternate between sitting meditation, walking meditation. And I'll give a few, I was going to say instructions, and I stopped myself, suggestions about your walking meditation when we get there. And I'll have opportunities for questions from time to time, so I haven't got a fixed schedule, but we will take periods sitting and take periods walking. And then a little later in the morning, those who would like to, and there isn't going to be the space or the opportunity for everybody, but a group of about a dozen people at a time during walking periods other than the first one, so I'll tell you when we get there, this is just to warn you. I meet with a dozen people at a time or so in this room. It's called the library. Just around. Is it called the library? Yeah. Theater. Oh, that's right. It's the theater. I remember now. We have a theater to meet in. It's just like a little lounge with nice comfy chairs. And so we can have smaller group conversations. People can ask questions. If there's anything in particular they want a little more personalized, if I can be supportive or helpful in some way. And so you sort of have to self-select and come, if you can, to those. That optional. So, yes, let's think about why are you here? Why do you meditate? Does anybody meditate? I shouldn't even say that, because those who've practiced for longer will find the answer to my question, yes, but probably the rest of you won't. Are you meditating for the reasons because your life is absolutely perfect? This is it, so I want to meditate. Anybody? Right. We're meditating because it isn't quite perfect yet. Or I'd like to be able to deal with the challenges of my life a little better. Or I've now got this new situation coming on and I want to be more skillful. I find I'm not handling as well as I'd like. Or something like that. Is that why you're here? Anybody else want to say a sentence about why you're here? Why you come to meditation? My reason when I first went on my first intensive meditation retreat was, well, the first time was because my boyfriend did it. And so I met these nice people, and then I liked the people, and then I discovered that I liked meditating with them. But when I went on my first 10-day retreat, it was because I was heartbroken. And I wanted to calm down and be okay to deal with this new, you know, single motherhood with, you know, without this person I thought I was going to be living with. So it was to cope with the challenge of that scenario. That's why I went on my first retreat. Anyone else? Anything why you're here?
I find that meditation deepens my capacity for creativity.
Deepens your capacity?
For creativity.
I didn't hear the last word.
For creativity.
For creativity. Oh, yes, it does, though. It opens up more space. Because when what blocks creativity is all the thinking and the worrying and planning and judging and all that activity. This means my left hemisphere is going crazy. That's what that sign means for me. Yes?
Also for me, it's to allow the essence of what I am to emerge more.
To allow the essence of who she is to emerge more. Because similarly, it's sort of hidden underneath all of the other have-dos and musts and worries and busy things, habits, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else, yes.
To remember to notice
this moment. Yeah. And a little more, well, time and space between what's happening and your reaction to it. Space, again. You see, it's the same. Anyone else? Have you anything different than it? Yes. Yes, to clear the path, which is very similar to your neighbor over here, for your inner wisdom to arise. That's lovely, because, yeah, yes, please.
I don't know if my reason's selfish, but I'm a better person when I do
that. Yes, oh, isn't that the sweetest thing? We are. We are beautiful beings. We're good beings, we care, we're wise beings, we have inner clarity, creativity. You know, we have space, we can choose how to behave, but we don't access that. Enough, we feel, because worry, busy people, drama. Our little busy minds are interfering with our inner wisdom, space, capacity, goodness, creativity. Yeah, please.
To not do,
but to be. To be instead of do. Right. Oh, well, I've come to the right place. You've come to the right place. Yes, I mean, it's similar for everybody, of course. Okay, thank you. So in thinking about this theme this weekend, I don't put it out on a poster ahead of time because I have no idea ahead of time what, you know, is going to be up for me and what I feel like sharing. And so the idea of being able to access our inner quietude, our spaciousness, our beauty, our goodness, our creativity, all of it, our wisdom, we need to unclutter. It's like the mind is cluttered up. Our lives are cluttered up. You know, our attitude is so cluttery. It's so busy. And so we want to make some space. And so taking a quiet weekend alone is that kind of gift. And so there are some skills which we can employ, meditative skills which we can employ to help us. It's some people, and often, you know, we all of us from time to time can think of meditation as a skill building exercise or a learning of something, to do something, to get better at something, and a project. One of my colleagues calls it a self-improvement project. But there can be danger in that because it can be just more clutter, you know, depending on the attitude. And so I really am encouraging this weekend it to be a simplifying, a kind of a less of a doing and more of a letting go and a being, if we can do that. And there are some ways to really help it. And so the very first way, and I'll talk through some of them, and tomorrow, by the way, I intend, and I make this the best I can, to be a two-day retreat. So this builds for tomorrow kind of thing. So we'll build on these skills, and I'll continue on. So we'll begin today with the more obvious ways of relaxing, and then tomorrow the more subtle ways, more liberative ways. But we have to have the foundation of calming first to be able to access more of that, at least in the way I'm going to offer this. And so the very first way to help is via the body. And for those of you who know the teachings of the Buddha, the very most thorough, detailed meditation instruction the Buddha gave that we have record of is called the Satipatthana Sutta, the Discourse on the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, the four areas to grow this sense of being and awareness. And the first of those four is awareness of the body. And the first place to help us calm down and relax is via the body. And so the first thing that I'm going to have us do this morning is to systematically, again and again, keep scanning through your body and relax it in different ways, different places. The places which are obviously get tense, for instance. And then I'll add a few more. And so we'll begin with this. But then the second thing we'll do, because that's like right away, quick. You know, that's why I said take a few sighs. Just that, you know, when you do that, the physical sighing, right away there's some of that. The next thing that I'll have us do this morning, and I want to read a couple of little quotes from for this, is to be grateful, to choose gratitude over complaining, you know, over not enoughness. And a lot of our churning is that it's not enough. This moment isn't enough, it isn't good enough, I'm not good enough, I need more of this, I need to fix that and get rid of that. It's not okay. And so when we deliberately put our minds to gratitude, we're grateful for things, I call it counting your blessings, then something changes inside. Literally, chemically, in the brain, they measure these things now, we can feel in our hearts a sense of fulfillment rather than a sense of lack, you know, and irritation. And it's just a deliberate choice, because we can be complaining. I mean, there's plenty of things, we, you know, it's not going to change, but there's so many things that we take for granted that we can deliberately appreciate. And when we appreciate and we are grateful for and we honor, we will find ourselves, the heart fills a little bit. And when we're fuller in our hearts, when the heart feels a little more full, like we're fed, we relax. It's like a hungry animal, you know, it has a big feast, lions even, and then they're like completely docile for 2 days or 3 days until they're hungry again. So it's a simple thing. It's like we need to feast a little on our lives. And with that, the whole system can calm down and relax. And so it really is effective for awakening, basically, but also for being lovely, because when we're satisfied and grateful, now we become more open. When we're open, we're available. We listen, we meet, we receive, we have time for each other, and so on. It's brilliant. So being grateful. And for those who don't know, if you feel like some other point really going for gratitude, David Stondel Rest, I think is Rost? David Stondel Rost is a monk, older Benedictine, I believe, who has specialized in gratitude. You can just Google Gratitude David and you'll find him. You know, fantastic, long, deep, rich teachings on gratitude and the value of gratitude, being grateful. I've got a method, three little things that we're going to be doing. I'll do a little guided one. That'll be also this morning. I'm just going to read a couple of words about this, though. Where are my glasses?
They were on your lap.
They're on my lap still. I've got hearing aids, and then I've got these things, and now I've got these things. That's why it's a bit of a aging. Some of you may know of Norman Fisher. He's a senior teacher in the Zen tradition in California and has taught up and down the West Coast for many, many years, decades now. So these are some of his words and quoting others. All my life I've been contemplating the question of Heidegger's, that German philosopher, that has always struck me as strangely profound. Why is there something rather than nothing? Have you ever thought about that? We take our life, we take life, we take existence for granted. We take it as a given, and then we complain that it isn't working out as we wanted it to. But why should we be here in the first place? Why should we exist at all? Why should anything exist at all? Really, there's no reason for it. Why not nothing? Nothing would be simpler. Albert Einstein, there are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other is as though everything is a miracle. I'd like to have met Albert Einstein. I think he was very wise. Look at everything as though you were seeing it for the first or the last time. Then your time on earth will be filled with glory. Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. In daily life, we must see that it's not happiness that makes us grateful, but gratefulness that makes us happy. The development and experience of gratitude is a beautiful part of awakening. In contrast to an ungrateful heart, where one is caught in resentment, isolation, thanklessness, the arising of gratitude for the gifts offered by others and the rewarding experiences of life leads to a deeper sense of interconnection, well-being, and often a return of generosity in response. The practice of developing and expressing our gratitude is essential to untangling patterns of loneliness, isolation, neglect, anxiety, and scarcity. The arising of gratitude can further awaken our awareness of being loved, cared for, and surrounded by beauty and bounty. And then Norman Fisher speaks about himself. I myself try to cultivate the open space of gratitude every day. The open space of gratitude. And when I feel it, grateful for my own body, grateful for the clouds, the sky, grateful for my family, my teachers, for the Buddha and the teachings, I know that my spiritual health is in order. And when I don't feel it, I understand that I'm off, and I try to right myself. And now I don't usually do this at this moment, but I'm going to do it at this moment. this weekend, actually a couple of days ago, Saint Mary Oliver died. And so I have to read. I've got Mary Oliver poems for the week, and even got Mary Oliver books, because really, those of you who've never heard of her, come and look at some of these books. She's one of the most beautiful poets. And of course, a lover of nature, but a lover of truth and a lover of the inner life. So this one is about gratitude. And these are the most well-known of her poems. When death comes, like the hungry bear in autumn, when death comes and takes all the bright coins from his purse to buy me and snaps the purse shut, when death comes like the measles pox, when death comes like an iceberg between the shoulder blades, I want to step through the door full of curiosity, wondering, what's it going to be like, that cottage of darkness? And therefore I look upon everything as a brotherhood and a sisterhood, and I look upon time as no more than an idea, and I consider eternity as another possibility. And I think of each life as a flower, as a common as a field daisy, and as singular. And each name a comfortable music in the mouth, tending, as all music does, toward silence. And each body a lion of courage and something precious to the earth. When it's over, I want to say, all my life I was a bride, married to amazement. I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. When it's over, I don't want to wonder if I've made of my life something particular and real. I don't want to find myself sighing and frightened or full of argument. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world. So, yes. We don't visit this world when we're grateful for it. So that's our theme for the weekend, making space, being grateful, relaxing. So we're going to actually meditate now. And for the rest of the weekend, which simply means being fully present and aware. If you need to stretch, if you need to stand, if you need to move or adjust, get yourself settled, we'll meditate and sit for maybe a little under half an hour. So first, we're going to just relax our bodies. I recommend you do this by starting with your face, and then we'll just go down through the body. And you'll get to do this in your own time, slowly, gently, over and over. So let's begin with the forehead. Most of us have frown lines. Let's not have frown lines this weekend. Let's widen the eyebrows away from each other, making a little bigger space in the middle of the forehead. And if there's any furrowing of the brow, let's not do that either. No furrowing brows. Wide apart eyebrows. And then the eyes. Most of us, without realizing, have a kind of tension in the eyelids, as though we're holding our eyeballs in. Well, you know, if you completely relax your eyelids, your eyeballs will not fall out. So let your eyeballs rest naturally, with no holding them by the eyelids. Big eyeballs in there. And then coming down over the cheeks, right back out to the ears and down to the mouth, that whole area of jaw. And most of us have a certain clench going on with the jaw, so see if you can unclench. And you might even want to open your mouth a little bit or wriggle your lower jaw and loosen it to remind you. Unclench those teeth. No frowning, no clutching around the eyes. Release the clenching of the jaw. You can even play with making a bit of a gap between the two rows of teeth in your mouth. And can you let your tongue fall down to the base of your mouth so it's resting in the bottom? We often have it sucking up against the roof of the mouth, playing with the teeth. Rest your tongue. And then the lips, they're so sensitive. Just notice how softly they're touching each other. And you might even want to make a little tiny gap between them. And even though we don't really consciously do anything, there's a whole muscle around the scalp. And when it gets tight, if we're afraid, makes the hair stand up. See if you can just check that your scalp is soft, relaxed. And down at the bottom of the head, the chin. Again, we don't move the chin very much, but just be aware of it being soft. The whole of your face, your head, relaxed. And now coming to the neck. The easiest way to relax the neck, I find, is to loosen your head. And so mobilize your head. Very slightly, let it be wobbly. Move it a bit. Loosen it up as though it were a helium-filled balloon on a string, and the neck is the string. Can you feel it loose now? Slightly wobbly. And now bring the chin. Lower your chin a bit and draw it slightly back in. And this will extend the back of your neck a little, because we often stick our nose and our chin forward. Stick your nose and chin forward. And that contracts the back of the neck. We're like ready for the world. We're charging ahead. So now bring the chin in and lower the face slightly. You're not going anywhere. You're not having to charge ahead. You're coming inside. Loosening up the neck, mobilizing the head slightly. Let the future come later. Let's just be here inside now. So soften the neck, and now come to the shoulders. And if you want to, you can even move them slightly. We want to have them be freed up and low and slightly open in front. but not tense, not pushing them back, but opening them back rather than hunching them forward, which we tend to do. And this gets to the arms, the placement of the arms. You want the arms to rest, relax down in your lap or on your legs. Doesn't matter where your hands are, how forward or back your arms are, but they want to be relaxed. So some people actually are better off with a cushion. On their laps or on their legs to rest their arms. Experiment with this if you're new to sitting. And make sure your elbows are loose and your wrists are loose and your hands aren't grasping or fiddling, or your fingers are soft. Now there's a little trick, if you can remember it. Imagine that your shoulder blades there in the back of your chest. Imagine that the bottom of the shoulder blades is a little bit down and slightly in towards your heart. It lifts the chest ever so slightly, but it opens up the front of the shoulders, opens up the top of the chest. We tend to collapse down and the sternum drops in and back, and the back, upper back, rounds a little bit. It's protection or exhaustion. Reverse that slightly. Tuck your shoulder blades down and in slightly so that there's a lift in the heart and an openness in the chest. Very slight, so it's not using tension, but it's able to relax and open the chest and the heart. For anybody who's uncomfortable sitting or has back stuff, stay at the end of this period and I'll see if I can help you. But what helps for sitting, meditating, especially for longer periods, longer than some of you are used to, 45-minute periods, we need a bit of a hollow in the lumbar back, the back of the waist and just below the waist. So the tailbone needs to be back slightly and the pubic area down slightly. The way, in fact, we are when we're standing up. When we're standing up, our back holds itself up quite freely and we're not using muscles. We're using the shape of the spine. When we sit, the knees come up, the tail tucks under, we lose the S shape of the spine, and so the upper back gets tired meditating because it's having to hold itself up. Or else it doesn't and you slump and space out. So to have an uprightness of the back while meditating, you want a bit of a hollow in the lumbar and the tailbone slightly back. And then the back can rest as it's upright and dignified and alive without stress or tension. And now come down to your whole stomach area. Let that be soft. Let your belly be soft and loose. Abdomen completely relaxed. Let the breathing be just soft and natural and easy as best you can. And then just check down through the hips. I think of us as like tortoises. And when we're tense, we shrink our arms and legs and head inside our shell. And when we're relaxed, we can let the legs and the arms and the head go loose. So make sure that there's a looseness in your shoulder joints, looseness in the hip joints. You're not having to pull your legs in out of tension or guarding. Loose hips, loose limbs in general. Just check on down through your knees, ankles, that the joints are loose. Relax the feet. And again, up to the top of the head. And in your own way, in your own time, slowly, like a gentle massage, lingering at the places where you know you hold tension, making space there, softening, releasing the tension. which will probably have reaccrued by the time you get there again next time. So just again and again, relaxing the tension in your body. You can even whisper to yourself, relax, unfrown, relax jaws, whatever it is. Just that whisper can help focus your attention. And we're not trying to be stiff or still like statues. The body has its natural little tiny adjustments. Let that be. Relax into the settling of the body rather than trying to hold it still. That's more tension. You might feel like spontaneous sighing from time to time. That's a good thing. If you find yourself spacing out because it's the beginning of a Saturday morning and your mind isn't well behaved, speed up the process a bit. Don't go too slow. If you're too slow, there's lots of space and your mind will just get busy. Scanning through the body, systematically relaxing. And as you relax, deliberately release tension. See if you can perceive that you're actually making more space in your physical body. your arms grow in length when they're relaxed. They shrink up like the tortoise when you're more tense. Your spine grows. You're taller when your neck is relaxed. Think of yourself as growing in length, but also opening in breadth, width. More space. Like a sponge that's dry and then it gets moistened and it opens up. Opening, widening, softening, the opposite of small and tight, bigger, wider, softer body. And incorporate this in your life and incorporate this in any an experience that you need. And as we meditate, every meditation sitting, you can begin this way or incorporate it into your practice, relaxing your body. When meditators sit for long, long periods in intensive practice, it's not because they're making themselves be still. It's because they're so relaxed, there's no need to move. And now we're going to shift to contemplating, a form of meditating, deliberate thinking, guided, directed thinking. In terms of counting blessings. So I recommend that you gently and slowly contemplate three areas of your life. The first one is the sort of common shared circumstances we find ourselves in here, in this era, in this place and time, country. That we're warm in here and we're safe in here. And we've all had breakfast and there's food in our fridges and shelves and cupboards and shops. And there are hospitals full of friendly, helpful, skilled people and medicines and equipment. And rapid response vehicles to take us there should we need them, at the press of a button. And clean water that we can drink coming out of taps. Just turn the tap. And electricity to give us light and heat and to run things so we don't have to labor so hard. And democracy and law-abiding citizens all around. We live in such incredible conditions, luxury, ease, comfort. And we live with trees around us and plants and grass and fresh air and winds off the ocean. And this incredible planet, if it hadn't grown plants in its evolution, we would never have emerged, because we depend on breathing this air. And it's plants, when they emerged, which did this magic on the air. By absorbing the carbon in the air, carbon dioxide, releasing more oxygen. Without the plants, we wouldn't be able to breathe this air. We're completely dependent on the plant life of the planet. So let's be grateful for these plants all around us. So many, many more areas you can contemplate without trying to be busy about it. But let's just appreciate the conditions of our living here. That there is music that humans have created, and so on, laughter, jokes. Sunsets. What we would call beauty. So take some moments continuing in this way. And not just thinking and counting blessings of what's good for you, but tuning into how that affects how you're feeling. And can you attune to that sense of being slightly nourished by that kind of thinking? And when we're nourished, I talk about filling the heart. It's like we're taking a feast, a little feast, feeding ourselves on this kind of thinking. And when we're fed in this way, nourished, filled, we relax more. We're not operating on the insufficiency or the threat level. We soften. And you feel that impact going on as a result of this kind of thinking. So two things: the kind of thinking that's appreciative, grateful, receiving blessings, and then the checking on the impact, tuning to the impact in the way your whole system feels. And then we'll shift to a second area to be grateful for. And this would be the people you have known in your life who you consider blessings for you, who you appreciate. You can scan your life back in time or however you do this. Those people in your life who were heavenly messengers for you or taught you something useful, held you when you were a child, grandma's hands. Those who are in your life now, your good friends, your long-term friends, your loved ones. No, but always not just the very best ones, but just the fact that we're in a friendly neighborhood, for instance. You live in a friendly neighborhood, even if you don't know your neighbors very well. But just counting as blessings the people you engage with, you cooperate with at work, for instance, or you encounter in the activities that you share. Your benefactors, your mentors. And reflect on them, what it is to have them in your life, the blessings of them, the way you enjoy being with them or did. And then, as before, tune into what that does to your state inside. The impact of reflecting on loved ones and dear ones. From time to time, remember that even though we're among a bunch of strangers here, that we can all be considered friendly and be grateful to be in such decent company, that we don't need to be paranoid or guarded or judging, but people with the best of intentions, just like us sitting here for this weekend. Whole room full of safety. And then a third area to contemplate our being grateful, our blessings, are your own personal blessings, meaning your own personal gifts, let's say. Some of us have certain things we were born with. We have intelligence, we have sensitivity, we have creativity. Some people are very musical here, visual artists, sensitive to colors. We have good hearts. Some are really generous. You've got gifts that you were born with. You have qualities which you have learned and been shown and taught, and you've modeled on from others. You've developed. You've had the ability to develop. You've worked at developing, and you've grown gifts, skills. We've learned to share beautiful things together. I was last night singing in a concert for my choir, big choir. Beautiful blessing to sing together. We've cooperated. We know how to cooperate, how to harmonize. Some through dancing, sometimes working together, creating a project together. We have that capacity for joy and laughter. Each of us, in your own way, you have a capacity for loving and kindness. You're a friend to people. You're generous in the ways you're generous. Take these few minutes to contemplate this. These beautiful qualities that are growing inside you. Your good intentions. Your caring. Let them in, let them be known. Appreciate your blessings. Feel blessed. And then recognize what happens when you let yourself feel blessed. In these ways, the impact on your system. And check back down through your body, starting with your furrowed brow, and see how unfurrowed it might be now. And scan through as before, your eyes, your jaws, scalp, neck, shoulders, arms, trunk, torso, legs. Relaxing whatever needs more relaxing. Opening, softening, loosening. Widening, expanding. So we'll do some walking meditation now. It's clear outside. So we'll take 45 minutes. And Metta didn't mention this morning, but those of you who are not familiar with this area, we can walk all around. There's gardens, there's woods, pathways, and then across the road there's more and spaces around Queenswood. There are buildings over there. If you go over across the road further away, you won't hear a bell, probably, so you'll have to watch your own timing. But we have somebody who's volunteered to ring a bell. Would somebody like to ring the next bell? Would you? Okay, thanks. Mia?
Tia.
Tia. Close. Mm-hmm. So if you'd ring the bell just after 10 to 11, it's almost 10:15 now, that'll give us time to come back in again. And so we'll start sitting again at 11. It's 10:15. So what I suggest you do for your walking meditation for this period, could have been a worse sound, is similarly relaxing your body. So walking in a slow, gentle, loose way, and focus on being relaxed in your body, that your mobility is relaxed, that your head and your neck is relaxed, your arms are swinging. So you're aware of the moving of your body, but it's a slow, gentle, relaxing walk. But you're in your body. You're not thinking, and you're relaxing so that you can plan or something, or go shop or something, or argue with somebody. We're trying to just be fully here in your body while walking. And you'll look and you'll see, but checking with your body. And then after some moments of that, minutes, then these three forms of contemplation as you walk. So you're going to integrate walking in a slow, relaxed way, and not snail's pace slow, because it's not relaxed, especially in the beginning on a Saturday morning. It'll be faking it, which will be very tense. And so loose, normal, easy, comfy, flowing kind of walking. And then contemplate those three areas of your life, the general circumstances of our lives nowadays here, this land. And then the people of your life, the connections that are your blessings. And then your own beautiful goodness and the way you are a contributor to those friendly relations. After all, they aren't just doing it to you and you're a blob. You're participating in some lovely relationships there. And so your own qualities. So contemplate those slowly, gently, and integrate being aware of your body relaxing as you walk. Does that sound simple enough? It's not easy, because your mind wants to do the other things that it's all got going for itself and worrying about and trying to deal with. And so encourage your mind to say, I'm going to do this now, just this now, later with that. And just try and put down the tendencies for the other and return to this. Could you feel, I can feel it in the room already, the impact of that kind of thinking. You see what I'm saying? It's sort of, there's a settledness, it's okay. We're focused on well-being, which nourishes and calms us down. So it's not just groovy or pleasant, it's effective. It creates a different state. And that state is the readiness for meditation. And without that state, meditation is one big struggle because you're fighting against this other neurotic activity. And so we start like this. So take this time now and go walk with this in this way. Doesn't matter where you walk. You can take shorter walks back and forth or longer wandering walks. It's fine. It's not about concentration yet. We're just simply getting here in this friendly way. And if anybody wants to stay and ask me questions about posture, if you're uncomfortable about sitting, I'll be here for that, those few minutes. Thank you. On you go. Have a nice time out there.